Psalm 74, I want you to notice again, here in this psalm, something that Asaph declares in the midst of this amazing, wonderful text about the Creator of all things. As we noted a moment ago, verse 17 says, "Thou hast set all the borders of the earth." And then he says, "Thou hast made summer and winter." The girls just sang about the seasons and winter and so forth, and so that was very timely. Most of you know that this psalm is an appeal. It is an appeal for God to intervene in the lives of his people. It is one man crying out to God, and God recording it for our own benefit, crying out to God to do something about a terrible situation for his own people. And it's in the context of this appeal that this psalmist raises up the creative power of God. Verse 13, he talks about dividing the sea. Verse 14, he gave meat to the creatures in the wilderness. Verse 15, he broke out and opened the springs and the brooks. Verse 17, the day is his, and so is the night. And then he says this in verse 17, "Thou hast made summer and winter." God made the seasons, beloved. And you know, he did so in part for spiritual reasons. We know this for many reasons, but for example, it was Jesus himself who said, Mark 13 and verse 28, "Learn from the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near." Not just our own earthly summer, but he goes on to describe spiritual summer, not a vacation in that text at all, more like tribulation in that text. It was Jeremiah who said, "The harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And of course, it is in Genesis, way back in the very beginning, when the Bible says these words, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Now, as you all know, tonight, next Sunday, is the last Sunday of May. And while it's hard to believe, the very next day, Memorial Day, marks the unofficial beginning of summer. The official beginning of summer is June the 20th at 11:32 p.m., the longest day of the year. And I'm pretty sure that right at 11:33, it starts to get warm here in South Florida, and we know it's summer. Spiritually speaking, the summer season is full of important reminders, lessons, and truths for all of us here to embrace. And you know what? I just pray as God's family here gathered tonight that for the next few moments we do exactly that. You know, for some of you who are in this room tonight, this will be your 10th summer. You're 10 or 11 years old. For others, it'll be your 20th summer. For some of you here, your 30th, your 40th. I think we might even have a 90th summer in here. I'm not sure. I'm not going to ask. And you know, every single one of these summers is and has been a reminder, not only that God himself established this coming season, but that it was he himself. It says he set the borders of the earth, he made summer, and he made winter. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven." This, beloved, is the Creator of this season, who said in Proverbs to consider the ant who gathers wisely in the summer. The same Creator who warned Isaiah of the summer fowls and Micah of a righteous man called home in the summer. Summer's a season, but it is a season that God has made and which carries again for all of us here some important, powerful reminders. Three things I want you to notice concerning this season that's about to come upon us. And the first one, number one, the thing that God associates with summer, for number one, is the blessings of summer. The blessings. After all, you know one of the blessings of summers is that it's both a time of growing and it's a time of harvesting, as we read a moment ago from Genesis, seed time and harvest. The Bible says this, quote, "Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Think about that for a minute. In other words, that green herb, that little sprig of parsley on the plate that you know, that's just shoved off to the side, that little piece of mint or chive that's used as, quote, a garnish? Do you know God says, I provided that, even that? He says that even that is a divine blessing, so that what ought to remind you of is that everything else on that plate, all of it comes from God. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. I don't know how long it's been since you've been to Fresh Market. It's one of my favorite places on earth. Or Carmine's or Doris's Market. I walk in there and I just get happy. The colors, the smells, there's flowers, there's fruit, there's vegetables. It's just awesome. Sometimes when I'm having a stressful day, I leave my office, go right down Indiantown Road, go in the Fresh Market, and just walk around and don't buy anything. It's awesome. But you know, summer corn, I notice, is already out. And then you walk through there and you'll see the blessings of summer, watermelon and strawberries. It's all amazing. With watermelon, it's one of my favorite things about summer. I'm always on a quest every summer to find the very best one. I'm looking for the one in a melon. Hey, Griffin laughed, you know. Thanks, Griff. I think he's laughing at me, not with me. But I don't even try watermelon in the winter. Who would? Because it is a summer blessing. And it's glorious. You don't like watermelon? Then you're not going up in the rapture. Amen. You're out of your rind. I mean your mind. Griffin, laugh at that one. There you go, buddy. Ah, that was good. The blessing of summer? Absolutely. It's not just the fruit. It's family and it's vacation. It's not just fruit. It's homemade ice cream and the ocean and swimming and the rain and the shorter nights. And sliced peaches and lemonade and picnics. And no school, hallelujah and amen. In fact, for me, you know, there's four majors in golf. The U.S. Open's June the 20th. The British Open is this July the 15th. The PGA Championship is today. That's almost 3 out of 4, proving that summer is a spiritual thing. William Cullen Bryant once said that the summer is the year's last loveliest smile. Shakespeare wrote that summer is in a sea of glory, and as far as I'm concerned, it is glorious. I remember every year, nearly, hearing my grandma sing a song in the good old summertime. And somehow she'd use that old radio voice, in the good old summertime, but she'd sing it. And the lyrics go like this, in the good old summertime, those days full of pleasure we now fondly treasure, when we never thought it a crime to go stealing cherries with face brown as berries in the good old summertime. Grandma was a thief every summer, but at least she enjoyed it. Amen. The blessings of summer. I wonder tonight if we could all just take note of how good our God has been to us. You remember Jeremiah's lament when he said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Do you know that when this summer is ended, when this summer is over on Wednesday, September the 22nd, that saying, that truth in Jeremiah will not be true of most of you in this room? As a matter of fact, we get to begin the summer and spend the summer in the light of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if anything, here's our summer text. You ready for this? This is our summer text. The harvest will be past, the summer will be ended, and we will still be saved. Amen and amen. 50 plus years ago, after riding a bus to church, I got saved in the month of August, a summer month. 50 plus summers later, I can testify that in spite of my own weakness and my great lack of faith, especially at times, God is always faithful and his blessings have never diminished. Our irrigation pump is out for a while. We're getting a new one, but you can tell by you look at the grass, just drive around, you can see it's looking pretty bad these days. Hey, Pastor, we need rain. We need rain. Don't worry. Summer in South Florida is here. And you're going to say, Pastor, stop the rain, stop the rain. Summer rain is a reminder. It is a reminder of God's promises and God's blessings. And speaking of promises, how many rainbows do you suppose you're going to see and I'm going to see this summer here in South Florida? Again, reminder of God's promises. Reminder of the greatest promise, which is salvation, which is what that rainbow is a reminder of. When it comes to us, it comes because of God's grace and mercy and goodness. The blessings of summer. I hope that every blessing that you have in the days coming before us this coming summer, I hope they point your heart toward heaven. The second thing we're reminded of, number two, is the burden of summer. You see, it says that he made summer and winter. I was thinking about that text in Genesis, springtime and harvest, and then it says cold and heat, summer and winter. The opposite of the word cold is not cool, and it's not warm. It's heat. It is hot in the summer. In addition to that, the words seed time and harvest remind us that in spite of the heat, even in the midst of the heat, there's labor. And yes, there's struggle sometimes. In other words, look, as long as this earth is under the curse, there's never going to be a perfect summer. There may not even be a perfect summer day. So that beautiful Pinterest picture you see of those sliced ice-cold watermelons, somebody was in the sun harvesting those things. Somebody was out in the heat getting those melons first. I remember one of the best summers that I ever had. It was the summer of 1973. We had been living in North Carolina for several years, and so we moved back to Florida and had a whole summer of brand new experiences. That summer, we stayed at my grandparents' house in Fort Lauderdale. And for money, my brother and I, Dennis and I, got to work at my Uncle John's worm farm out in Davie, Cooper City. And again, it was, you say worm farm, no, trust me, it was awesome. It was one of the best summers ever. We got to fish every canal, every rock quarry, every inlet, every bay in Broward County, I think. And that was thanks to my grandma, who was addicted to fishing all of her life, and my grandpa, who loved to grill all of it when it came in. It was a dream for a 15-year-old boy. They lived on a canal. My grandpa had a little small boat, and almost every night we would get on that boat and motor out. And that summer, I watched my sister catch a 30-pound tarpon. I shot an alligator. That probably wasn't legal. I lost power in that little motorboat 10 miles offshore. That was exciting. My grandpa tied up to a lobster trap out there and then said, let's just see if there are any. And he pulled him up and he kept him. That probably wasn't legal either. Went to a Dolphins game in the Orange Bowl. Made some cash with those bait worms. Drove grandpa's bulldozer at various job sites. It was totally illegal to do that, I know. It was an amazing summer, but not always. Not always. My memories of it are amazing, but I can remember it didn't start out amazing. It started out horribly because, you know, we'd been living in North Carolina, and my fair skin, I'm a ginger boy, and fair skin Jimmy was white. I walk past a television set. If it's on, I get a little bit of a sunburn. That's my skin. So I was so white, I was clear. I didn't even have a shadow. I was so white. I made the Pillsbury Doughboy look like a Mexican. That's how white I was. So knowing that I was going to be out on this worm farm with my Uncle John, I decided that the day before, I was going to go out and get some sun. You know, I didn't want to look like a rookie out there or anything. So what better place than to get some sun than on the roof of my grandpa's house? Went in the garage, got a ladder, and I found a flat spot on his house. And my pasty self laid out in the hot Florida sun for over 5 hours. I fell asleep. It was my first and only time I got sun poisoning. I mean, watermelon. I was the summer watermelon, as red as. That night, I couldn't move a quarter of an inch in any direction without tears coming down my cheeks. And they have salt, and they hurt blisters, and so it goes. And I remember my grandma said, Jimmy, I'm going to go out and cut some aloe, and I'm going to rub it all over you. And I said, Grandma, you're not rubbing anything on my body right now. For days, I was in misery. So I'm just saying, look, I have such fond memories of that entire summer, but nevertheless, even in one of the best summers of my life, there was pain. There was difficulty. There is no such thing as a perfect summer. And yet, all of God's blessings in this life are accompanied with some burdens. You know, we talk about, you know the song, Count Your Many Blessings? You know, the lyrics of that song, the words to that song say both. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. name them one by one. In other words, burdens will always accompany our blessings. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's not a strange thing when believers have burdens. It's an expected thing. And no follower of the Lord Jesus Christ should ever expect to ever have a perfect summer. And as I noted, you might not ever have a perfect summer day. You know, someone asked me some time ago about Hollywood and what I thought was the most corrupting force in movies and television. And I said, you know, honestly, to me, in my opinion, they only know how to send two opposing messages. Either their films are dark and depressing and disgusting and full of despair, in which case they will win an Oscar or a Golden Globe. Or it's fantasy. It's totally unrealistic. Girl meets a beast. That little water buffalo turns into a hottie with manners all of a sudden. It's either superhero or ever after. But have you ever noticed that rarely, if ever, do they present the world fallen by sin but overcome every day by children of God who trust Him in the midst of their burdens? Rarely do they show the experience of Paul, who declared in 2 Corinthians 4, as we said on, I think, Wednesday night, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? He said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, look, rarely can they ever show the truth that burdens are because of the fall and blessings are because of redemption. And we're redeemed. We can enjoy and understand and learn both. Third thing. The third great lesson of our summer and every summer is the blessing of summer, the burden of summer. But number three, there's the brevity of summer. See verse 17. "Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter." Already a reminder that summer is going to end. That text in Genesis, the very first word is "while." Think about this. "While the earth remaineth." You know, beloved, that means exactly what you think it means. While the earth exists. Because one day it will not exist. But Pastor, he goes on in the text to promise never to destroy the earth. Yeah, he does. With water. With water. The sign of that promise, as you know, is a rainbow. A rainbow is manifest in the presence of two things, sun and water. The same sun that Earth rotates around on a line and axis tilted at 23 degrees that gives us summer. The same sun that God mentions in the last chapter of the Bible when he says in Revelation 22, "And there shall be no night there, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light." Revelation 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." This is how consistent, beloved, our Bible is. In Genesis, while the earth remaineth, there's summer and winter. But when it's gone, there's neither summer nor winter. One day, no more sun, no more summer as we know it here. A new heaven and a new earth. See, folks, not only is the season of summer limited, but so is its very existence. One of the summers that changed my life was the summer of 1972. And most notably, it was the Sand Mountain Bible Camp that summer. You've heard me mention this camp, I'm sure, many times. It was a youth camp that was 95% preaching and 5% fun or playing. But I have to tell you, the preaching and the singing was so good for a young convert like me. I didn't want to go play tetherball or whatever else they had. On the very first morning, I was kind of skeptical. This camp, honestly, is out in the middle of nowhere, Georgia-Alabama line. I thought I was transported to hillbilly heaven, Hatfields and the McCoys. I'd never seen anything like this. But I was excited to be there, and I was going to make the most of it. And so I'm in there and listening to them singing and preaching. I thought it was some sort of a refuge for hillbillies, for real. Where did my pastor send me? Sand Mountain Bible Camp. On Monday, this little country girl, about 9 years of age, first night, she sang a song that ended up becoming the theme for the whole week. She had the strongest Georgia accent I'd ever heard. And she sang a song that said, this old world is filled with disappointments. And I'm like, I wonder if I can understand these lyrics. And I did. Many times I get discouraged. The song is called Homeward Bound. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, we're having fun at camp. And she's singing these songs about disappointments and troubles and heartaches every day. That's like I remember when I was in high school, I think high school, Leanne Rimes sang a song. She became famous when she was just a teenager for singing blues. And she's singing about she had the blues. And I'm like, what does an 11-year-old girl know about the blues? So here's this little girl. She's up there singing, "We're not home yet, children." And tears were going down her face. Keep your eyes on the Savior. And the men at that camp, some of you have been to these places, shouting, running up and down the aisles, waving hankies. It looked like a snowstorm. There were so many hankies. Glory! And just in crying and weeping, tears. Now, it was powerful, I mean, in the moment. But I got to say, it was a little confusing. Later that night, I saw that little girl with her whole family, her mom, her dad, her brothers and sisters, out at a big bonfire. And it was there that I learned that she was the pastor's daughter. And that she had leukemia and would not live the rest of the summer. Already, she had endured treatments and procedures of every kind. She knew she was dying, and that was her last camp. But man, the joy she had all week, the faith she had all week, that night and every night and all day, I sang that song. This old world is filled with disappointments and troubles every day. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. That's the reason I keep singing as I go. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor and we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus and our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a-coming and we're not home yet. You know, there was a summer I sang that song other than the one in 72, all through the summer. It was the summer of 2017 when Louise was at St. Mary's in June and went to heaven in August. And how many times that summer, that song that I heard from that little girl, "We're not home yet." The brevity of summer is a reminder. Not only to enjoy and be thankful for every blessing that comes your way, because summer will end. But recognize the truth that both burdens and opportunities are temporal in this world. You know the text we quoted earlier from Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. It's really an admonition to be aware. Summers don't last forever. Neither do burdens. And by the way, neither do all your opportunities. Mark Twain, as you all know, was a skeptic and unbeliever. Although he was a great admirer of the Christian faith, he would sometimes say that he would trade anything to have the faith and belief of his wife and his daughter. His daughter, Olivia, same name as his wife, on August the 18th, the summer of 1896, died of spinal meningitis. She was 24. She was the love of his heart. Mark Twain was devastated, and he wrote her eulogy. The words were this: "Warm summer sun, shine kindly here. Warm southern wind, blow softly here. Green sod, lie light. Good night, dear heart." Mark Twain had a gift for writing. But you know, his daughter didn't need those words for her grave. Or for that summer. Because, folks, she had the gift of eternal life, which is already eternal summertime. We're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we will sit down beside the river. the blessings of summer. Are you grateful? Will you be grateful this summer? Every time your family enjoys something at the hand of God, are you just going to take it? Or are you going to take it with gratitude? Every time you go out west and you enjoy that trip, or you go to some market and you buy food that most of the world would consider the best meal they've ever had, and you're having it day after day after day, embrace those blessings, but be grateful for them. How about the burdens of summer? Will you be faithful this summer? Trusting Him. Always trusting Him. I don't know what the summer holds. You don't know what the summer holds. I certainly didn't know that the summer of 2017 would be as it was. But will you be faithful in those burdens? And then the brevity of summer. Simply, are you aware? Are you aware that your life and my life is a vapor? And because it's a vapor, there's really no time for whining and griping and gossiping, tearing people down, and destruction. There's a lot of time for building and edifying and encouraging and strengthening. There's no time for petty stuff. The summer will soon be ended, and we'll sit down beside the river. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for all of the seasons of life. As we mentioned to the young people in Sunday school this morning, that life has certain cycles spiritually designed by you, and you should embrace the one you're in and not try to go forward or backward. And Lord, we are in a season now as a New Testament Bible-believing church in a country about to enter a summer that nobody knows what it's going to be like. We only know, Lord, that you will bless us. We only know that there will be burdens, and we only know that it will be brief. So help us, God, please help us to be grateful and faithful, to serve you and trust you in the days ahead. Bless the invitation now, please, in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.